From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Lost Civilizations and Ancient Secrets with Pat Chenard. Here's what's happening. Strange story out of Newport, Florida. Police have charged that the town's high school principal with two counts of second-degree criminal misdemeanors after students that he hypnotized ended up committing suicide. Over 6 months, the police department there has conducted about 70 interviews with students claiming to have been traumatized and hypnotized by Dr. George Kenny and 100 adults, either from the school staff or parent community, after receiving a complaint from the Florida Department of Health Services. Now, he apparently routinely hypnotized students in one-on-one sessions or in group settings. Two students committed suicide after the sessions. Well, there's really never a way to go, never a way to die, but a California man died the hard way. A brush removal worker in California died after he got tangled in rope and was pulled into an industrial-sized wood chipper. He was working with his crew at a private residence north of Sacramento. He was feeding branches and debris into the machine. His fellow workers heard a loud scream and found him tangled in the rotors, died at the scene. The radioactive plume from the meltdown of Japan's Fukushima plant on March 11th of 2011, because of that 9 earthquake, which led to a tsunami, a huge tsunami, was initially reported as harmless by the time it reached the United States. But new statistics apparently are showing that's not the case. An estimated 14,000 deaths in the United States have apparently been linked to the radioactive fallout from this disaster, and the impact is seen as being roughly comparable to the 16,500 radiation-related deaths that took place in the 17 weeks after the Chernobyl meltdown in 1986. In a moment, Dr. John Apsley joins us. We're going to talk about this incredible story. The price of Afghan opium rose dramatically in 2011. Opium poppy farmers in Afghanistan earned about $1.4 billion last year, equivalent to 9% of the country's GDP. Prices started to rise in 2010 after the poppy crop was hit by a disease. The head of the UN's Office on Drugs and Crime said opium helped fund the Taliban insurgency and fueled corruption in Afghanistan. 90% of the world's opium comes from Afghanistan, which carries out an annual survey of production there, according to the Office on Drugs and Crime. But aren't we in control of Afghanistan? Yet the poppy production there is out of sight. The value up 133%. President Obama has formally notified Congress of his intent to raise the nation's debt ceiling by $1.2 trillion 2 weeks after he had postponed the request to give lawmakers more time to consider the action. Congress will have about 15 days to say no before the nation's debt ceiling automatically is raised from $15.2 trillion, it's a lot of zeros, to $16.4 trillion. A little bit of good news, though. Home Depot has announced it plans to hire 70,000 temporary workers at its U.S. stores to handle the spring selling season. That's 10,000 more than they announced last year. Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. Let's watchdog this budget. Another $1 trillion. Where's this money coming from, Gregory?
Well, George, I'll tell you, the money is not coming totally from tax receipts, because tax receipts have imploded. And, you know, there are some right-wing websites making a big deal out of the president asking for another trillion, but this was all preordained back in August. Remember, we had most of last year, they had this fight. You know, the Republicans wanted cuts and the Democrats wanted tax increases, and they all huddled up together and they decided to raise what the deficit could ultimately be by $2.4 trillion. Now, the scary thing about this is we almost burned through $1 trillion, something like $900 billion from October. That's when the fiscal year.
Yeah, we're going through money like crazy.
Yes. And so basically, this is like fake fighting. They already preordained what the debt ceiling could be, $16.7 trillion, so they got about $300 billion.
Bottom line, Greg, though, why don't they cut the budget?
Nobody wants to cut anything. Nobody wants to cut services. The Republicans don't want to cut the military. The Democrats don't want to cut Social Security and social programs. And I'll tell you, we spend 43 cents more of every dollar we take in. And really, according to John Williams at ShadowStats.com, listen, the annual deficit is not $1.3 trillion if you use generally accepted accounting principles. That's a gap. It would be $5 trillion plus. That's what the annual deficit is. So they've got this thing to where he can, you know, bump it up another $300 billion after this 1.2. They've got it set so they need a supermajority to override it, and that way, you know, people can vote no and say I voted against it. It's just really just like WWE.
We're going through $1 trillion a month, aren't we?
With $1 trillion since October 1st till the middle of, so 3.5 months, $1 trillion. So if you just do the math, 1.2 trillion, that gets us about to what? I don't know, April, May?
Makes no
sense.
That's the
rate we're spending?
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Bye-bye.
Greg Hunter. The astronauts living on the International Space Station are gearing up for a milestone event next month, the first visit of a commercial spacecraft to the orbiting outpost. The private spaceflight company, it's called SpaceX, plans to launch its unmanned Dragon capsule to orbit Feb 7th atop the firm's Falcon 9 booster from Cape Canaveral Air Force Base in Florida. The capsule will carry a load of food, clothing, and other supplies for the six-man crew of the space station, in as much as we can't launch up there, so we have to go to the private sector. Since October, Peter Davenport's National UFO Reporting Center has received more than 1,000 UFO reports. 1,000. And Peter says he's never seen it this busy. Peter, what's going on? Why all these reports?
I think I wish I could answer that question, George, but I can't. And just a minor correction, we posted 1,100 reports in mid-December, and we just tonight, thanks to our trusty webmaster, posted another 600. So we've had 1,700 sighting reports submitted to the National UFO Reporting Center in the last roughly 2 months, maybe 2.5 months.
Unbelievable.
I've never seen anything like it, George, and I'm really pleased and I'm grateful to you to allow me on tonight to call this to the attention of the Coast listeners. Something is going on, George. I don't pretend to understand what it is, but I have not seen such a volume of reports since I started doing this crazy job 17 years ago.
Peter, could people be seeing drones and kind of craft like that?
Anything is possible, and of course, people are reporting stars and planets to us all the time. The star Sirius in the eastern sky during the early evenings during winter months is a likely candidate. I get so many calls about Sirius, I feel like it's my brother. But yes, those things are reported all the time, George, and that's the value of having an experienced UFO investigator take these calls and most of all review the written reports that are submitted to us. But the one thing that has occurred, and in fact I've talked about this during recent appearances on Coast to Coast, is we're getting a slew of reports about clusters of red, orange, yellow, amber, and gold fireballs, up to 100 of them in a cluster, usually
eight
or a dozen of them. And I have no idea what these are. If people are interested in seeing some interesting information and reports, I would invite them to go to ufocenter.com and look at all the reports we just posted tonight for January and December.
All right. Very good, Peter. He keeps updating us on some incredible UFO stories. Now, in a moment, Dr. John Apsley joins me. We're going to talk about this story. Apparently, 14,000 deaths in the United States attributed to the Fukushima fallout. How can that be? We'll talk with Dr. John Apsley in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Dr. John Apsley has been involved with clinical research specializing in cellular regeneration. He has been on the program before, and we're going to talk with him this hour about the apparent U.S. deaths, 14,000. Directly related to the Fukushima fallout. John, what do we know about this and the study that was involved with this, these statistics?
Well, they follow the initial studies that came out by the same two experts that went over the increased infant mortality rates here on the West Coast during the first 11 weeks. There was a 35% increase in infant mortality rates. What happens is that the iodine, the radioactive iodine that is the first to hit, will reduce the thyroid function of the immune compromised, such as the young and the aged, as well as people with AIDS. And so they can not defend themselves against common pneumonia and common influenza. If it's off-season to the times when you would expect higher rates of deaths from influenza and pneumonia, you can immediately suspect that some immediate event just occurred. And for example, after Chernobyl, what you mentioned earlier, the chances of it being a random occurrence that over 16,500 deaths occurred within the first 4 months after Chernobyl here in the United States is 1 in 1 billion.
Jeez.
So it is consistent with the historical nature of what radiation in very, very low doses will do to the immune immature or the immune compromised. In this case, though, the Chernobyl incident released a set amount of radiation from its fuel. We have at least 7 times the amount of fuel that was vaporized due to the number of reactors and storage fuel pools that were destroyed at Fukushima in Japan. And so this is the first wave. We can expect over the next 20 years to have an amplification of what we saw coming out of Chernobyl. And that data is just now being more and more solidified by a group of very dedicated epidemiologists going clinic by clinic and hospital by hospital, collecting all the old official records, because the Soviet Union outlawed for 3.5 years any data collection that was related to radiation deaths or injuries.
John, if these 14,000 people were directly related to the Fukushima spill and fallout, how could they die so fast? Within a year, probably a little earlier. How could it, does radiation poisoning affect them that quickly?
Yes, because we have enough germs in our mouth to infect and destroy the entire population of New York, just one person, if they became immune compromised in New York City. But we maintain our health against these critters because our thyroid function keeps our immune system working.
Okay.
But when radioactive iodine goes into the thyroid, even in small amounts, these are called hot particles, they instantly lower the thyroid function. And a lot of mothers today don't breastfeed their children, for one thing, and a lot of mothers that do are iodine deficient going into this. And because we were not warned to do some judicious increases in iodine intake, such as from a very cheap nutritional supplement, Atlantic kelp, for example, is very inexpensive. Unsuspecting mothers, suffered, I think, just an incredible loss.
John, infants the hardest hit. And let me mention some of the cities that apparently had the most excessive infant deaths. They were Boise, Idaho, Kansas City, Salt Lake City, Jacksonville, Florida, Olympia, Washington, Boston. I would think Los Angeles would have had more. How did it spread around like that? I mean, how did we get over to Jacksonville, Florida, Salt Lake City, up to Boise, Idaho? I mean, how did it, you know, over to Boston? And then to places like L.A., San Diego, on the West Coast, how come they didn't seem to hit these numbers?
Well, it's a great question. You have rainfall levels, because when the radiation plumes come over where there's heaviest rainfall, and I document this in my book from the National Weather Services, that's where the radiation comes down on top of our heads and gets onto our shoes, and then kids take their shoes off and then put it close to their nose.
I see. Okay.
And ingest these, and so that's how that happens. So we actually, in British Columbia and Vancouver, there was a 60% increase in infant death rate. All of the major cities along the west coast had a 35% average increase, but Philadelphia had a 48% increase because they received the greatest amount of rainfall during that time period.
What can people do Obviously, we don't know if we've been affected or not, some of us. But what can we do at this point?
Well, we have to be diligent. I love just to put together smoothies for my family. And I'm hoping that folks can email me, because I have some very, very good bullet points that are absolutely free that people can add to their daily regimen: chocolate smoothies, vanilla smoothies, pineapple smoothies. And you can put very inexpensive ingredients in there, and not only will it help to pull out these toxic radioactive particles, but it will neutralize these particles that are already in your body. And I've been doing it from day one, since March 12th, and especially since March 14th, when I saw that detonation, that supersonic explosion that occurred at storage fuel pool number 3. Incidentally, the Chernobyl incident, that plume was skyrocketed 2.5 kilometers into the air. But just the one explosion that occurred at Unit 3 storage fuel pool launched 5 kilometers into the air. And that's another reason why we got hit so hard here, especially on the West Coast.
Now, apparently this study of the Fukushima health hazards is the first to be published in a scientific journal. So maybe some of the experts will wake up on this thing, John.
Yeah, and I was listening to the show just prior to me coming on, and you're so right about the government agencies. There's just so much cronyism involved. The international agencies and the national agencies are using foundation or research groups that are corrupted by vested interests. So if you're, for example, looking at the ICRP data that tries to predict accurately the impact from radiation exposures, that data is totally out of line. And the recent chair of that organization, who had resigned because he just got fed up with the cronyism, has come out and stated as much. And then we also had in the Japanese situation, they are now dumping all the radioactive debris into Tokyo Bay. And what else they're doing is they're burning it, that is, re-releasing it into the air just south of Tokyo. And I can't for the life of me imagine why they would want to take all this debris that's radioactive contaminated and then reintroduce it back into another population of Japan that wasn't so heavily dosed to begin with. We're going to start the whole thing over again. And that's because of cronyism. The nuclear power industry across the world is extremely powerful, and they put a lot of people in office, in government office. And a lot of their key scientists go back and forth between the federal agencies and into the industry. And so there's also these hit squads, and this is very interesting. They're actually being bought and paid for to bend the science, and they come out and they do vicious attacks against the likes of the renowned Joe Mangano from the Radiation.org group and his colleague, Dr. Janet Sherman.
Part of this study, right?
Yeah, they really have. They're highly experienced. They've published over 30 times or more in the peer review on CDC data from Centers for Disease Control based information. This isn't hodgepodge stuff here. This is real weekly reported increases in death rates, and it's confirmed at the 3-year mark. They did this at Chernobyl, and now they're going to do it again. But there's weekly releases of the CDC data, and the peer review so far is highly favorable to this initial article. But now there'll be a revision process where there will be people trying to challenge it.
That's right.
Professionally, and that's good. But these other hit squads are very disparaging. They do personal attacks. You can follow the money. You can see where they're bending the science because they're told to do so.
Why wouldn't our government come forward and simply say, we have a problem? Is it because there's nothing they can do about it now? Why? Why not?
Two reasons. They think there's nothing that can be done about it, but there's easy solutions to this for folks here in North America. The people in Japan are a little bit more of a bad situation, but they can still prevent a lot of what's coming 20 years down the road if they get going now. And there's the vested interests. There's this cronyism that's worldwide. The power industry worldwide is like the number one industry and number one money-making system that puts people in and out of office.
Hold on for a second, John. We're going to come back, talk more about this incredible study, and we'll take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. We'll be right back. Well, next hour, we're going to talk about giants and lost civilizations with Pat Shenard, so get ready for that. When we come back in just a moment, we'll take your phone calls with Dr. John Apsley as we're talking about apparently 14,000 deaths in the United States alone because of the Fukushima nuclear fallout. 14,000. We'll take your calls when we come right back. Dr. John Apsley with us. John, I assume they're telling us the truth that they've stopped any radiation leaks from that plant now. So if that's the case, the major fallout has already occurred, I assume, right?
Right, and it's the amount of the fuel that actually vaporized and also enters now into the water table. For example, every time that they send water in to do the continuous cooling, that water has to come out and has to be cleaned. But it's not possible. We don't have the technology to clean this water, and so they're going to have to dump it likely into the ocean and to Tokyo Bay. They can clean some of it, but the technology just isn't sufficient. They've also erected a tent over one of the buildings because there is vapors that continue to be released.
Oh,
and we've actually detected radioactive iodine both there locally since then, which means active chain reactions are occurring, which means that there's helter-skelter reactor feedback going on. And we've also noticed that there's been some events here on the West Coast. That's because there was just so much fuel that was involved. And the last thing is that if there is another aftershock of any significance, this water system that is successfully cooling down the remaining fuel will instantly break down. It's real flimsy what they have in operation. They'll have to evacuate the area. So let's keep our fingers crossed that it doesn't undergo another earthquake.
14,000 Americans have died because of this. How many Japanese have died?
This is a great question. This is the first wave. And we have to remember a couple things, that the lower the amount of radiation, the more deleterious effects it has on the tissues compared to much higher levels of radiation. This is counterintuitive to what
right.
most people believe. So you have the bystander effect that is now confirming this. That's in the peer-reviewed literature that has just come out over the past decade. And the reason is because when you have a larger amount of radiation that hits a body, it will activate the repair enzymes up to a certain extent because it's at a certain range. That would be what happened to a lot of the Japanese population as of right now. The second thing is that when you have a really high level of radiation, the effects tend to cancel each other out because they bump into each other in the body. So the lower amounts are uninterfered with, and they're allowed just to run 24/7, 365, and just keep on burning. You know, George, you can hear the cronyism in the official agencies when they begin to compare these hot particle ingestions in our lungs and in our guts to a dental x-ray. They have got nothing to do with each other. These particles will stay in our body for months, if not years, giving us radiation 24/7 versus a simple dental x-ray, which is over in a millisecond. Well, these kinds of differences are what has impacted the United States versus Japan. Japan will get these effects in their second, third, and fourth waves down the road. But we have to remember that the Japanese diet contains from 10 to 100 times the amount of iodine that we get here, and there is a tendency of the Japanese mothers to be more rigorous about breastfeeding their children and thereby transferring that iodine directly into the infants to help protect them. But they're still going to suffer the consequences as the next 5, 10, 15, and 20 years rolls out.
Okay, very good. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Russ in Sutherland, Oregon. West of the Rockies. Russ, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was curious. They said that back in Boston or something, there's a high current. So I wonder if, you know, those jet hubs and stuff, they spew aluminum out the jet exhaust. Could that somehow precipitate more radiation coming down out of the atmosphere?
I don't think so. It's mostly the rainfall. And then depending upon the plumes that carry them, are carrying most of the radiation at certain times. But then it gets into the food chain, especially here in Oregon, and I'm in Seattle, and also in California where George is located. The food chain will magnify this radiation as time goes along because we're at the top of the food chain. And so mothers who will breastfeed, say, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the road, they'll have much more radioactive particles in their breast milk unless they take preventive measures than they do even now because of this biomagnification effect. So I don't think that has anything to do with the aluminum issue that you're bringing up.
Okay, good. Thank you, John. Garden City in South Carolina. Matt's with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, I was wondering if any of you knew about radiation detectors for under $200.
Yes, there are. Unfortunately, these radiation particles are so obsequious and they're everywhere that it's at such low doses that it's hard for these cheaper detectors to pick them up. There are sophisticated machines like atomic absorption analysis that can pick them up. And we've actually sent samples here on the West Coast, both dirt samples and other kinds of samples, shoes from kids that came out of Japan, over to a lab on the East Coast. And they published peer review, an excellent article on the amount of radiation that hit here on the West Coast. So, and they proved that this radiation came from Fukushima. So, and then they also compared it to the levels that were hitting Tokyo, for example, with the kids walking around and getting their hands into their mouths because they take their shoes on and off. And it's just startling. It's absolutely startling what's coming. And but the good news is that we can prevent most of most of the health impact. If we just know what to do.
Sure thing. Our Saturday night host, John B. Wells, on his website that you can get to by going to his bio on our website, he has some detectors available there for you to look at as a little public service for you if you want to price them. Let's go to Cynthia, truck driving in Nevada, first-time caller. Hi, Cynthia. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Dr. John. Thank you for taking my call, George.
Thank you.
My concern is I have a son who was in the Navy stationed in Japan, and he told me that he was working on the helicopters that would fly over Fukushima and back.
Okay.
And they would come in and check the gloves for rad levels, and one time it was just off the charts. Mm. And the Navy told them that as long as it didn't get into their blood or their mouths, it was fine. But these are mechanics. And from that point on, they had him working in a radiation suit. So my question to Dr. John is, this is a young man who's 22 and recently married. And do we have to worry about his health and his future children?
Good questions. John?
Yes, we do have to worry. But again, there are some real simple measures that he can do. I love the smoothie approach. You just make these smoothies. You can just put some powders together, or you can take some supplements. There is a group that's been working with the U.S. military on helping our troops to detoxify themselves very efficiently. And I include all of that research and information in my book. So I hope that if you can get a hold of my book, you can do the research there, and it's all laid out for you.
John, really, people still don't understand it. I'm talking about people who are associated with the cleanup and everything else out there at Fukushima. They don't understand the dangers of radiation, do they?
No, they don't. And it's this took me a while to put my arms around as to what's really happened. This is really our individual fault, because it's not impossible, and hopefully I've made it a lot easier, for folks, everyone, to be able to put their arms around what's happening. Let me give you one quick example. During Chernobyl, we had historical evidence as to what actually happens to large population centers. And the kinds of diseases and the kinds of radiation, there's over 100 different particles involved. They each have a particular difference in how they affect us. But we have that data. If we simplify that, we can look at that there was 7 times as much fuel that was damaged compared to Chernobyl. And Chernobyl killed approximately 1 million people just during the first 20 years in its aftermath. It crippled over 8 million people, particularly children, and that will likely double again over the next 80 years. That was put together by 5,000 reviews of the peer-reviewed literature coming out of Russia, as well as going door-to-door to the major clinics that that treated these folks. Fukushima now has 7 times that factor, but it has 6 times the number of people involved compared to Chernobyl. So when I first came on the air, George, if you recall, right after the incident occurred, you were kind enough to have me on the air, I stated that we might see up to 50 times the levels of damage done from Fukushima compared to Chernobyl.
That's right.
My numbers actually mathematically have crunched out very, very close to that. It's either from 7 up to 42 times. So the really important thing for everyone to realize is that it's easy to help prevent what's coming and to help undo. Like, for example, in Chernobyl, they've removed up to 68% of these toxic particles, radioactive particles in kids, in just a few short weeks by including apple fiber, by including kelp fiber. It's not that difficult. It's inexpensive. And if you combine them together with a few other things, you can probably get 80, 90% out, and then you build the repair enzymes that are also done through fruits and vegetables and even soups. I like to do it in smoothies, but you can do it in other ways as well.
What are some of the symptoms of radiation poisoning?
Well, with the liquidators, the people that are actually on site and they're being exposed to high levels, we're told initially that there's not going to be much fallout. There might be one death. Well, now there's lots of deaths that are occurring, and there's a lot of crippling effects. There's hair that falls out. There's nausea. There's all the signs of being burned, like a sunburn on the outside and the inside, profound fatigue, and, of course, your immune system drops out. That's happening to, unfortunately, a lot of the liquidators who were involved early on. But here with the United States and Canada, the effects are a little bit different. We might feel that suddenly there seems to be more people that come down with the flu than normal. It's easier to catch a cold that just lingers and hangs on there. And then we see results in the infants and in the immune suppressed, the aged, the people who are senior citizens. They have devastating effects as well. In fact, most of the numbers of the deaths that were calculated were not the infants. The infants were a high proportion, but the total numbers were with the immune suppressed in the older populations.
Let's go to Sandra in the state of Washington on the wildcard line. Hi, Sandra. Go ahead. You're up with us.
Oh, hello, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping the doctor can help me. I had an ultrasound done on my thyroid, and I have a goiter, and they found 2 bilateral solid lumps. Monday, I'm going in for a biopsy. My concern is if it is cancer, I am very highly sensitive to all anesthesias. I've almost died one time, and the dentist can't even use Novocaine. Just everything that's been used, I'm sensitive. I was told next time I have only a 1% chance of survival. So what I'm wondering if the doctor could answer is, number one, is there a safe way to shrink the goiter? And number two, is there a way to treat thyroid cancer without surgery?
Okay, so let's deal with what you can do just on a preventive basis. There is a way to slowly, and I mean very slowly, add in foods that are rich in iodine into your body, but it has to be done very slowly. Goiter is classically a result of not getting enough iodine into the system, but it has to be done under supervision. It can be something as simple and as inexpensive as North Atlantic kelp. Don't get Pacific kelp because we have that problem. The other issue is that what kind of dental work have you had done? For example, if you have a lot of fillings and they're the metal kind, the mercury from that leaches, Yeah, it leaches out and it goes into the thyroid and it causes all sorts of problems. So radiation poisoning that comes in now from Fukushima will exacerbate what's already existing in such conditions by 900%. So it makes things 900% more toxic of what's already going on there. And then there's other things. A simple thing is to start chewing gum that has xylitol as its sweetener that can be purchased in any health food store. That will reduce some of the infections that are in the mouth on a permanent basis. And then taking iodine will reduce some of the fungal infections that get in the mouth. All of those things reduce the immune system that helps protect the thyroid. Lastly, there is selenium. The mineral selenium is extremely important to protect the thyroid. So that will deal with getting your thyroid function back up to normal states and work with a natural healthcare practitioner, a licensed naturopath or a medical physician that understands this. The second thing about thyroid cancer is there's three different kinds of thyroid cancer. If it is cancer and you have one of the more predominant ones, there's an excellent chance that the conventional treatments will be 100% successful if they catch it early. And it sounds like that you're in that category if they determine that there's some rogue cell growth going on. If it's the other two kinds of cancer, thyroid cancer, then certainly the preventive measures I just mentioned are important. And it might be worth you to consider looking at some of the natural approaches that can deal with really strengthening your immune system. I cover that in my book, so you can go there. But you can also check in with your naturopathic physician or a medical doctor that has training in this area. There is no known way besides the use of acupuncture to anesthetize for an operation like what you're talking about. So there are one or two clinics, I believe, in the Northwest that have a licensed acupuncturist who can come in and induce anesthesia in a region such as what would be consistent with a thyroid operation, and that would be pain-free, and that might be the safest way to go, but you'd have to do the research to find such a clinic.
John, when the EPA took measurements, they found high levels of radiation in air, water, milk, hundreds of times above normal in the U.S. Did they do anything about it?
No, because they don't think at that level that they can actually do something about it. What the common thought is to, and it's very antiquated, it's too simplistic, is to, if there is a crisis, to go ahead and distribute a whole bunch of very, very high doses of iodine. But that, in my opinion, is not the way to go. That science is antiquated. As I referred earlier, there is a group that has worked very closely with U.S. military, and they have brought forward some of a better peer review on how to protect, and it deals with vitamins and amino acids. I've taken that a step much further. I went back to the original studies that related to two hospitals that were 1.5 kilometers from ground zero in Nagasaki when we dropped the A-bomb. And there was a diet that was immediately put together by the medical director at one of the hospitals of St. Francis. And they had 100% survival of both the staff and the patient.
Oh, that's incredible, John. Of course, John's got all this information for you that's linked up with his website. Just go to coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back in a moment as we talk about giants and lost civilizations next on Coast to Coast AM.